You're listening to the Binge Media Podcast Network on bingemedia.net. And now, Small Screen Heroes.
Welcome to Small Scream Heroes. I am Batch, your host with the most. Joined with me as always is Logan. How's it going, brother?
It's weird not listening to that intro at 1.5 speed.
Yes.
We're all 1.5 speeders now, and that's not a drug. That's like a podcast speed.
Oh, is that a thing? I'm not aware of this. Explain this to me.
Oh, yeah. So a couple of weeks ago on the Binge Cast, they were talking about how like if you can maximize your podcast listening if you brush it up to 1.5 speed. So I've been doing that. I'm not trying to sound like a hipster. Like, I've done that for a while because some of these shows are so long, flagship show especially, that I'm like, all right, I got to get these, you know, in because I don't have any other time to listen to them except for my morning commute, which is like 35, 40 minutes. So, yeah, so that's that. But yeah, 1.5 speed, brother.
I am more of a 0.5 speed, so I'd rather everyone sound like this.
Oh, you want to have to slow down? Okay. Yeah, well, that makes sense because I never got to officially congratulate you on the air, but you do have a job.
Yeah, my shoot job, as opposed to my work job over here as a podcast host. But yeah, I am back in the working field. I guess that's changed since our last episode. I am a bud tender for a company I will not say. Yeah, it's the most weird job I've ever had in my life, but the most fun job I've ever had in my life.
And that's why you listen to podcasts at 0.5 speed, because it just makes sense.
Yeah, like, I listen to Stone People all day long. What's the most powerful stuff you got right now, man? Hey, man, do you got any, gummies in?
So, do they have any, like, superhero-oriented, like, edibles or, like, strains? Or is it strains?
Yeah, it's strains. Okay. Oh, yeah, but before we get into this, we should say Small Screen Heroes is your one-stop shop at bingemedia.net for everything comic books and pop culture. As always, we are a spoiler podcast, so anything we talk about this week, we're going to spoil the shit out of. So if you've not watched Red Plate, anything we talk about this week, come back after and enjoy the party. Okay, let's get back into it.
Pot culture? Is there any superhero strains or edible, like, references made in your store? Are you allowed to talk about that? If you're not, that's totally fine. We can move on.
We got MK Ultra.
Okay. All right.
So, yeah, like one hit of that and you'll be yelling, finish him!
Friendship again?
Friendship.
I'm all toasty! But no, we get like 30, 40 different strains. We always get more in. It's been an education, I think.
I bet it has.
I think now that Ammon is gone, I think I still smoke the most weed out of everyone on staff here at Binge Media.
That's fair. You know what? Those are fighting words, but I believe you.
Because now it's my job. I kind of have to. And that's it's just weird. Like I was smoking a joint with a buddy at watching a wrestling event the other night for AEW. And I'm like thinking, this is my fucking job. This is the weirdest thing. But that's another thing. We're here to talk about comics. We're here to talk about gaming. Big Gamecast episode this week. We're going to talk a little bit of game, a lot of gaming news, a lot of gaming stuff. But first, I think it was apropos. We got to start with this. I never thought that I would live to see the day. It's a glorious day, Logan. For so long, us DC comic fans have been in the dark, but now there's a light at the end of the abyss, because I can gladly say today that Dan DiDio is no longer in charge of DC Comics.
Happy for you, man.
So it's time to the celebration, my friend.
He's trigger happy over there with the Sounders.
Yep.
Give me a hell yeah!
Oh man, so happy.
You're excited. Feel these nipples.
Dan DiDio's gone from DC. Celebrate good times, come on. Maybe the books will be good now. Oh God. Yeah, so that happened. Dan DiDio, gone from DC Comics. I am so fucking ecstatic. This guy has been the bane of my fucking existence since the New 52, where he fucking ruined everything. I guess DC said, fuck this shit o'clock, and said, you're out, and shit canned him.
Nice.
They haven't really gotten any explanation, just like the news kind of broke on Bleeding Cool one day that he was gone. And I couldn't be fucking happier. So I know maybe the straw that broke the camel's back was this fifth gen thing that he was planning, where he was going to plan to replace all the mainstream DCU characters with like new characters. So like Luke Fox was going to be the new Batman, Jonathan Kent was going to be the new Superman. It's a terrible fucking idea. No fans wanted it. And so Dan DiDio is now gone. And oh, let the door hit you with the good Lord split ya. Oh God. Oh fuck.
Oh man.
I know you're not a DC guy, so you don't get my, you don't have the same hate.
I don't, and I'm a far happy for you, and I'm sure you're very ecstatic, and I have nothing but happiness for you. So
yeah.
Obviously, I mean I know you're very pleasant on this cast, but I've never seen you so ecstatic about something.
Oh dude, it's a beautiful day, or that U2 song, but
that's true too. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, so we'll see what's happening. We'll see where DC is going to be going. I think that leaves Jim Lee as the sole, head dude in charge of DC.
Doesn't sound like a bad idea.
Yeah, but we'll see where that goes over the next weeks and months to come.
Where's Geoff Johns these days? Is he like, I'm so out of the DC loop, I don't really know. But like, what's he up to?
Well, I was always a conspiracy theorist, like with what happened with friggin' Doomsday Clock, with Dan DiDio pushing it back and pushing it back and pushing it back just so he can push his like shitty agenda of doom and gloom. It'll be interesting to see what stories actually come out now, because I know Twitter was ablaze of like DC creators kissing Dan DiDio's ass, and Rob Liefeld is the lone, hey, fuck that guy on Twitter. And normally I never agree with Rob Liefeld, but this one instance I have to agree with Rob Liefeld of fuck that dude. But it's definitely a good time to be a DC fan again.
Well, good.
Good. So that's that. So that's the big comic news out this week.
Speaking of DC, well done on the Adam Bunch, Mike Batchelor, Garrett Collins, Crisis on Infinite Earths episode. You guys recapped it quite well. I was sad I couldn't be there, but I honestly think I would have brought nothing to the table.
Yes.
Except for the fact that I love seeing Brennan Routh back in the, you know, the Superman outfit.
Oh yeah, that was such a good, yeah. Yeah, so you watched the crossover. What are your thoughts on that?
I was a little bit more lost with this one than last year's, what was that called? That was an Arrowverse.
Elseworlds, like, I think.
Yeah, Elseworlds was a little bit more, I found it a little bit more fun, a little bit more cohesive, and a little bit more understandable. This one I was really just there for, I would pretty much say the cameos, which most of them were like gone in like 2 seconds. Mm-hmm. You know, Burt Ward and the guy from Batman, Earth 89, as they called it.
Arliss.
Robert. Yeah, I mean, but honestly, with Garrett talking so much about it, you talking so much about it, like, my interest in Smallville is starting to peak. Like, I really kind of want to check this out because I've heard it being compared to more of like a Marvel style,
yeah,
way of show doing.
It's a show that very much started, like, the whole tagline for it was like no tights, no flights, until the last season where they just said, okay, fuck it. Then they introduced the Justice Society and the Legion and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
but.
But yeah, maybe that's be something down the road.
Yeah.
For what I remember of it, because it feels like forever ago, I enjoyed it. I just felt like it was just really hard to pick up on some of the threads, but that's not what I was there for. You know, I was there just to be like, hey, I'm jumping in and seeing what happens. But overall I was entertained. But I remember the wife coming and be like, she came in and I was watching it one morning. She's like, you don't like DC. And I was like, that's not true. I just don't like specific aspects of DC. Yeah. However, I'm doing my homework for a show that I wasn't even on.
Yes.
So yeah, but she was like, who's that guy? Who's that? I was like, I don't fucking know. And she's like, wait a minute, that's Brandon Routh. But isn't that Brandon? I said, yeah. I said, yeah. Mm-hmm. That's exactly what's going on right now.
Don't worry about it. It just exists.
Yeah, it's just there and it's there for the fans. And then that's what they, you know, I definitely feel like they did it for. And that's great that they have that, like, hey, we're going to like make sure that people we, you know, who put their time into these shows get a little payoff. And that's what's nice about it. And they, you know, the budget's not great. And you could definitely tell that in some of the segments, but they do what they can.
Yeah. DC's been doing these like 80 page, like giant issues and putting them in at Walmarts and stuff. So we're finally getting those kind of trickle up here up to Canada, some of the actual direct market stores. They did one for Crisis on Infinite Earths. So they did two issues. And so basically they kind of had exclusive, like, TV continuity stories that kind of filled in some of the gaps in those issues. So I was able to get my hands on the second one. It was pretty cool.
Nice.
Yeah. So I've been, so that's been a good thing. What have you been watching?
What have I been watching? TV wise, it's been mentioned on the show before, but the wife and I have been watching Lego Masters because I'm obsessed with Legos and I love the first Lego movie.
Yep.
I don't have a lot of Legos in the household, but I do have a good number of sets. But yeah, it's a really enjoyable reality show.
Mm-hmm.
They do different builds every week. They kind of like do one week. They did one where they break something. They talked about it on the recent Bingecast, but
this is our show. Yeah, we talk about whatever the fuck we want. This is our show. We talk about whatever the fuck we want.
Yeah, whatever the fuck we want. So yeah, but they have like some really cool concepts, and I like how the what they have to do is varied from week to week. It kind of makes it because most of the time, like, you watch a cooking show, it's like, oh, you have to use these ingredients, and that's fine. But like but at the bare basic of it, it's like you're watching a cooking show. Whereas Lego Masters is like, well, here you have to build half of a thing, or you have to build something that just like looks cool when you destroy it, or you have to build like a part of a theme park, and all those theme park elements like interconnect together, and then they have like a monorail camera that goes around the theme park that like shows everything. So it's really cool. They have like some of these like build times are like 12 hours. So I'm just like wondering like how much can you fucking do on imagination in 12 hours when it takes me from a book to build something takes 12 hours.
Yeah, really.
But these guys are obviously the best of the best. And I have to agree with, you know, previous comments on said teams. A lot of them are really annoying. But I'm going to have to say, Pete MC, I love Will Arnett on the show. I think he's super funny. I love Arrested Development. So he's acting just like said character on that show. And I feel like he's a perfect fit for, like, the shenanigans. And, you know, it's family friendly. So there's not, like, you know, kids can watch it too. I mean, there's adults there and they do, like, say stuff sometimes. But, like, the ultimate, like, excuse me, the ultimate coolness about it is just like seeing something new built every week and seeing how people like interpret what they could use for the challenge and build stuff. And I think some of these builds should like become actual sets that like Lego sets and sells in the store.
Yeah,
but they'd be super pricey because they're like fucking probably over like 12,000 pieces.
Yeah, I need to check that out. I am a Lego fan as well. I've always wanted that Ghostbusters frickin' firehouse, but
just, yeah,
or the Millennium Falcon. I think everybody wants the Millennium Falcon at one time or another. But
yeah, the biggest sets I have are the X-Wing from Force Awakens. I have the Friends set because the wife's a huge Friends fan. I have the cinema, which is like not like related to anything, but it's just like a kind of like the Chinese Palace in Los Angeles, and a Wally. Those are like the biggest ones that I own.
Yeah.
And then DeLorean, obviously, and the Ecto-1.
I have those as well. I have the Doctor Who TARDIS. I've got Batmobile and a couple of select others. I've got like Ghost Rider's motorcycle and just stuff that I think that looks kind of cool that was in my budget.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I want that frigging Voltron Lego because it just looks so dope. I've actually bought some figures now that I've actually got a shoot job. I can fucking afford it now. I've been slowly dipping my toe into the McFarlane run of the DC Multiverse figures.
Nice.
So McFarlane got the license from Mattel for the for a line of DC's 6-inch figures. So I got the Batman Who Laughs, which is a badass figure. I've got the animated Superman and Batman based off the classic cartoon designs, and this really dope Superman armor from I think it was Jim Lee's run on Superman.
Nice. That's awesome. Yeah, McFarlane toys are pretty sweet.
Yeah. The articulation's really good on them. I was kind of concerned about that because a lot of times they had like the past reputation of just being like posable statues. But yeah, it's like there's a lot of care and quality put into these figures. My only kind of gripe about the animated ones is they are kind of top heavy just with the designs. But they work. I'll definitely pick up the characters that I want because the wife would kill me if I bought every single one.
Right. Yeah, actually, I went on a figure binge as myself as well, and I bought a ton of the Spider-Man villain Funkos because I said I wasn't gonna go down that rabbit hole, but like, there's some of them that are just like, it's old school Green Goblin, Vulture, Kraven, Sandman, Kingpin. I was just like, I can't not buy them. They're like the most, like one of the best role galleries of all time.
It helps that they're kind of cheap too.
Yeah, actually, the Electro one that I bought, he was retired, which is funny because I thought he was like part of the 80-year like line, but he was actually like around 20. But I said, well, for, you know, I'm not going to not get him. He is, you know, I feel like he's, you know, he was my favorite villain in the past. But since I've been, you know, doing something on the side, you know, moonlighting as another podcaster. I've grown
Wait, I may be on that show too, so I'm not going to say it.
Oh, yeah. Shh. Super secret Spider-Man stuff.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But, no, it was just, I've been a rough couple of weeks at work, so I was just like, you know what? I'm going to treat myself like Parks and Rec and buy these guys. Yeah. So I have those seven, and then I got the OG Steve Ditko style Spider-Man 2. So, yeah. Spider-Man Funko collection's grown strong.
Yeah, I'm just looking at my Funkos over here on my shelf. I've got the Young Bucks. I've got Vince McMahon. I've got Jay Garrick. I've got Batman Who Laughs. I've got, like, Lebowski Thor. Kevin Owens, Reverse Flash, Shitty Wally West, Captain Boomerang from Suicide Squad, Dean and Sam from Supernatural, Lemmy from Motorhead, Lobo, and Agent Cooper from Twin Peaks. So I've got a real eclectic mix of Funkos.
Nice. Yeah. I think everybody does. There's so many licenses out there.
Yeah. I cannot wait to get the new AEW figures that they announced from the promotion AEW. They announced their figures with the New York Comic Con, and they look fucking fantastic. So they've announced the Young Bucks, Jericho, Kenny Omega, Cody Rhodes, and his wife Brandy. And the second line is going to be Jon Moxley, Hangman, and a couple others. I love that the fact that they've act like, because the one go-to site for buying wrestling figures is, I think, ringsidecollectibles.com. They always have like exclusive figures you can never get anywhere else. They've already started pre-orders on a little bit of the bubbly Jericho. Oh, wait, I can do that better.
A little bit of the bubbly.
Chris Jericho. That actually comes with the table and the bottles of like the champagne. With his gear from actually that when that happened. So that's pretty dope. I want to pick that's that awesome. Up. So that's cool. Another show that you and I have both been watching. It's a giant costume, so I think that kind of works. That fits under Small Screen Heroes. The Masked Singer. Let's talk about that.
Oh yeah, The Masked Singer.
Yes.
I got some sad news for you, man. I didn't tap out, but I think this is going to be the last time I watch this. Like, this is going to be my last season of the show.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I just can't, like, the whole bracket breakdown and the...
They're doing it a bit different this year, because, like, the first two seasons, it was like, they just, like, showed, like, everybody and just... But now they're going into brackets. So it's, like, the same people for 2-3 weeks, and then they whittle a couple down, and then they go the next bracket, then 2-3. But I got a feeling I was shocked that I'm really good at this game. I can always kind of figure out who's under the mask. Like, I figured out that was Drew Carey as the llama.
Yeah, some of them I'm like, I knew last year, I think, because we were talking about it to Mark Chevalier off air about how the Rottweiler last year was Daughtry.
Yeah,
and I think he picked up on that, because it's so clear. Like, some of the, like, you guys must be better at this show than I am, because I'll listen and I'm like, I want to guess the taco. Alice Keene had said that it was Tom Bergeron from, I think he's from America's Funniest Home Videos. Yeah.
He's hosted Dancing with the Stars.
Yeah. I think it's French Stewart, but I feel like he might be right. But I'm going to stick to my guess on that, because I feel like it sounds like him.
I almost thought it was Ted Danson.
I feel like there's also like a level of like celebrity that you have to be on this show. Yeah. Like, I feel like Ted Danson's like way too popular right now with The Good Place. And he's just Ted Danson. I mean, he could be right. I don't know.
I'm pretty sure it's Seth MacFarlane as the Frog.
The Frog. Oh, okay. Who do you think is the Turtle?
That's a hard one. I think it's one of the guys from NSYNC. Chris, what's his name?
Chris Patrick. I know that, but yeah. Kirk Patrick.
Yeah, I think that's him.
Okay. I'm trying to think about his voice. He just seems so rebellious, but maybe that's just because, I don't know.
Yeah.
He seems so rebellious, that young whippersnapper.
Totally picked out Tony Hawk.
I would have never guessed that. That was I was like, holy shit. Like, wow. And then I was like, stick to your day job, Tony. You can't sing for shit.
They kind of buried the lead with the skateboard reference from like Jenny McCarthy. Yeah. But I'm like, no, like the second, like, oh, goddamn, that's Tony Hawk. So yeah, that's a weird show.
Yeah, that's a very weird show.
I'm waiting for Hulk Hogan to be under the mask. That'd be tremendous.
Yeah, I felt like he was the tiger.
No, that's obviously Rob Gronkowski. It's obvious.
You think it's Gronkowski?
It's obvious it's Gronkowski.
Gotcha.
But I've been watching that. Other shows I've been watching besides all the normal stuff, which is just coming back after Crisis. I watched Lock and Key. I powered through that.
How was it?
I was a big fan of the original graphic novels and the issues.
Mm-hmm.
So I think... this being a Netflix show, it was really kind of hamstrung by its budget.
Mm-hmm.
So they had to change some shit to, like, because the original comic is so kind of out there with big ideas and concepts and things like that. And that would be like really expensive, even on something with a Netflix show, like type budget. So it was all right. It was okay. I don't know, just the comic fan in me just wasn't a fan how they kind of changed some things around, like the order they found the keys and things like that. But it's been picked up for a second season, so we'll see where that goes.
Okay. Yeah, I've heard some like mixed things from the network. Probably not a show that I will
If you liked Umbrella Academy, then you should watch.
I did like Umbrella Academy. That's actually, they got promos coming out for that the next season already.
At least give Lock and Key the rule of three. Watch three episodes.
Okay. I will lock in three. Okay, cool.
Lock at three. There you go. Boom. Hashtag lock at three. So that's that. What else have I been watching? I haven't released. I've been kind of out of the loop with movies and such. Finally got around to seeing Joker. Really enjoyed that.
Mm-hmm.
I know I was kind of late to the party on the network on that, but.
Dude, you were not the only one. I was very late to the party, too. I found it okay.
Yeah.
Not something that I would ever watch again, just because I felt like it was super. Like, it was. I mean, it was supposed to be dark and depressing. I thought Joaquin's. Performance was definitely worthy of an Oscar win. I feel like his Oscar speech, I don't know if you saw it, was very weird, but hey, what else can we expect from such a you know, a character. And by character, I don't mean Joker. I mean Joaquin Phoenix.
Yeah.
But no, I thought it was beautifully shot. I think it won for cinematography. I'm not sure. The Oscars were a long time ago. Mm-hmm. But no, I thought overall it was, you know, it was a good movie, just not something that I really need to tap back into ever again.
Yeah, I can see that. Did you ever get around to seeing Harley Quinn?
I did not. Was it Prey? Well, yeah. It's really just Harley Quinn.
Yeah,
I did not. I heard, again, mixed things. Like, some people really loved it and some people truly hated it, but that seems to be the case with any DC movie nowadays.
I think it's like a case of the changes to push towards the diversity towards a crowd that doesn't watch comics or read comics.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of really hurt it in the long term, because you need the fanboys to create the buzz for these type of movies to attract that audience.
Right.
So if you just kind of sidestep them and just try to get that audience, then it just doesn't work. Like, it was successful, but it wasn't as successful as it possibly could have been if they just could have made like things much more like the original source material.
Gotcha.
Like, how do you have a Birds of Prey movie without fucking Barbara Gordon? First of all,
I don't know, but they did it.
I don't know, but
speaking of DC, the wife and I rewatched Shazam a couple weeks ago. Still love that movie. Still ultimately adore it. Just a lot of fun. Shazam. It knows what it is, and Shazam. It knows what it is, and yeah, it just reminds me of my like movies I watched growing up. So I think that's where like the pure like love that I have for it is why it's there.
Yeah, it's a great movie. A great fucking movie. I can't wait for the second one with The Rock as Black Adam.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're gonna do a solo movie with him, right? Before.
I don't know. I think plans are changing because Shazam went over a lot better than they thought it would.
Mm.
So it'll be interesting to see. I'm also kind of really interested that Suicide Squad from James Gunn has done filming already.
Yeah.
So
it's like he's also like making it seem like there's going to be a lot of like people he kills off, which is kind of cool.
Pete Davidson, we're looking in your direction. Well, this is kind of what the Suicide Squad should be about. Like, you've got your characters you know aren't going to die, like Deadshot or Harley or any of the big, your upper tier. Then you've got your shitty D-list villains, which you know are all basically expendable over the course of the movie. And James Gunn has such like a good sense of humor, like as we've seen with the Guardians movies and some of the other ones. Just make it nice and dark, make it entertaining, and it'll be fucking awesome.
Yep, that's all you need to do.
Yeah. So that'll be cool. I can't wait for that to come out like next year. I hope that they actually push it forward so it comes out a little bit earlier since it's done already.
Yeah, you were one of the few people that I know that like actually...
Like the first one?
Promoted the first one.
Yeah, I didn't think the first one was as terrible, especially the director's cut. Like, my only issue with the first one was that the editing, like, continuity was a little off, but I found, like, the director's cut fixed a little bit of that, so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it wasn't the piece of shit a lot of people said it was. I didn't mind Jared Leto... I honestly did not mind Jared Leto Joker, because it was an interpretation which the Joker should always be. Like, if you look, every single guy that's played the Joker has played him differently. But it all kind of fits.
Yeah.
For the most part, in my opinion. But.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's with a lot of the Jokers. They just kind of take different counterparts of different storylines.
Have you seen that poster that's going around online with all the different Jokers, like from Cesar Romero to...
with the signatures?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty dope. I would actually rock that in my man cave.
Yeah, it is pretty cool. I mean, I don't know how authentic it is, but...
But... It's just cool.
It is cool.
What else? Let's talk about some X-Men stuff. So Jonathan Hickman's run of X-Men is still kind of humming along and still as big and as epic and starting to get a little kind of... what's the word I'm looking for? Just you have to read a lot of books all at once to know what's really kind of going on with this. It's getting a little too big. So there's some really cool ideas going on with it. Like, one thing they're really kind of like bringing forward is the attention that back with Scarlet Witch when she basically said no more mutants and wiped out, what, over a million mutants with powers, mutants powers. Remember that during it was House of M.
Yeah.
How was that, House of M, or was that?
I'm not the most suitable person to answer said question. I shouldn't even be on the show with the lack of knowledge that I have.
But you know what I'm talking about, right? When basically the Scarlet Witch basically wiped out like almost 2/3 of the mutant population.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
When she depowered everybody. Mm-hmm. So they've been like Xavier and Magneto and Moira MacTaggert have been trying to kind of figure out a way to rectify that with all the stuff that's going on with them. So, because they are desperately trying to stop that future where all basically mutants are hunted from by humans and all that kind of stuff from that one timeline. So the idea that they've kind of come across is really fucking dark. So now with Apocalypse, every single mutant that doesn't have their powers anymore have the option to go through this kind of gauntlet or whatever you call it. So they would fight Magneto. So they would fight Apocalypse in hand-to-hand combat. He kills them, and then they're resurrected by the Five with their mutant powers intact. So essentially, they'd be reborn. So the fact that Xavier and Magneto would be able to kill, like, would be open to killing over, like, 1 million people just to have them reborn as mutants is, like, really nice. Kind of a nuts, but amazeball. It's ambitious, but it still plays into the rules that Hickman has set up in terms of what kind of goes on with Krakoa and this new era of X-Men. Because right now it's still all about like mutants first, and we know that sooner or later all the cracks in this perfect society are going to form, because Mr. Sinister's doing his shit behind the scenes. Apocalypse has his own agenda. The Hellfire Club have their own agenda. And everyone's kind of working their angles. But let alone how everything's going to interact with the mainstream Marvel universe. And how they're going to react to all the shenanigans on Krakoa. Because we have a massive frigging Marvel crossover event coming with Empire. Which I have
the TV show.
Oh yes, which I could give two shits about.
What?
Oh yes, this fucking crossover. Have you heard about this crossover, Empire?
Is Tara gonna come back?
Yeah. If only, my friend. So essentially, the Kree.
Hold on. Before you continue, are you pro Terrence Howard as Rhodey, or are you more of a Don Cheadle person? Be honest.
I don't think it makes a difference either way.
Okay.
But, so with this crossover Empire that's going on right now is the Kree and the Skrulls are basically banding together to invade and take over Earth.
Jesus.
So since, like, Earth has always been, like, Earth has, like, the highest content of metahumans and all that kind of bullshit, right? So basically, all the aliens are saying, fuck Earth, so it's just going to be a massive invasion. And it's a big, like, 13-series crossover. It's crossing over to everything with Marvel, from X-Men to Fantastic Four to Avengers to literally everything. It's going to be one of those type of crossovers.
Jesus.
And the one person that's in charge of this whole invasion, evidently, is, what's his name, Hulkling. That guy that's the boyfriend of Wiccan, Scarlet Witch's kid. He was one of the Young Avengers, so.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so, yeah, that's going to happen then. I'm not going to buy a single one of those issues, but I'm probably going to have to read it for this show, because it is what it is. I was looking through a previews, and I'm like, God damn, how many fucking series does this thing go into? And I'm like, 1, 2, 3, 4. I'm like, that's too damn high.
That is too damn high.
But, yeah, so that's going on with comics. What else is going on? Have you been reading anything?
No, not at the current moment. I'm trying to, thanks to your help. Well, actually, you did assist. And we'll get into a little bit more of something related later. But I'm kind of on a big Back to the Future kick this year because, I mean, what am I not? Because everybody knows. But it's the 35th anniversary of the movie. So,
oh, by the way, Logan, have you heard that they did a one of those face fakes of Back to the Future with Tom?
Yeah, I did. Everybody shared it on my fucking wall. Oh, Logan, look at this. It's Tom Holland's Marty McFly and Robert Downey Jr. is Doc Brown. Guess what? It looked good. Thankfully, people slowed down telling me about it. So thank you. However, this has also sparked some sort of like internet thing where Tom Holland's like, he's heard murmurings of Back to the Future being rebooted or sequelized or whatever. Listen, this is where my fanboyisms come into full fucking play.
Yeah.
Do not sequelize this movie. Do not remake it. The sequels, whatever you think about them, that's fine. I don't care. The first movie is probably as near perfect to a movie as you can get.
I agree.
I'm not going to give it a 10 because there's still some like, well, how did they not know that it's his kid when they go, he goes, whatever. Back to the Future to me is like my everything. It's like how you feel about The Flash or whatever. Yep. I don't know how I feel about Spider-Man.
Yep.
The idea of Hollywood taking that and turning it into something that, first of all, would not be able to completely 100% showcase us. If they're going to do it in present day, how do you showcase a year like the 80s with a car that you would do now? Like, what would you – a Tesla? Like, you know what I'm saying? That fucking Halo-style car that, you know, he's making?
Well, for okay, so sequel, yes. Reboot, no.
Sequel if you are able to get everybody back.
Yeah.
But even then, walking a thin line. You're walking a fine line.
Bob Zemeckis has to direct it. Have Tom Holland be fucking Marty's kid. Cool with that. That would work.
Yeah, but no, he can't be Marty's kid because we already met Marty's kid in the second movie. It's Michael J. Fox as the son.
Time is fluid, my friend. And that could listen, be that could be
this is somebody who's come this is somebody who fucking yelled out obscenities over the X-Men timeline.
Yes. Time is fluid. Like, okay.
Time is fluid. And maybe if we're going to go that route, maybe they had a third kid and that's Tom Holland.
Or I say the big bad is Eric Stoltz Marty.
Oh my god.
So hear me out. Okay.
That's got to be some sort of video game fan fiction somewhere, I feel like.
Think it up. Like, think how awesome would that be? Like, if it's Marty, like the original Marty, Eric Stoltz, and that it would come full circle. And I think that could work.
But I feel like you'd have to pay him a lot of money to come back after they fired him. Like, after, you know, so many weeks or months of shooting.
Well, I'm sure.
And then, you know, you'd have to get Crispin Glover back and they burn his that bridge, too.
Well, what is Eric Stoltz doing right now?
I have no idea.
Take the payday.
I think the last thing I remember him in is Pulp Fiction.
Also, follow up on the theory that actually Doc Brown is really the bad guy. There's been multiple Marty.
They would Cobra Kai it.
Or Rick and Morty it.
Yeah, that's true. But speaking of Back to the Future, so yeah, like I said, I've been getting back into the comics. I've been reading those a little bit.
Yeah.
The comics do talk about how Mark, I come by their names, Doc and Marty met.
Yeah.
So basically, just I think Marty was going to rob something from Doc's house, but he like apparently like succeeded in doing an experiment. So Doc and him became friends. It's a little weird. But if you're going to sequelize this is how the comics are like what Buffy was to the end of the show or what Firefly was.
Yeah.
They continue the story in the comics.
And
so like if you want,
it doesn't violate the rules of the universe.
No, and it's written by the guy who wrote the movies, Bob Gale. So, like, yeah. I mean, there's other writers too, but he wrote like four specific issues that I remember about that, like, they are working within the timeline, no pun intended, of the movies. So, like, if there's anybody who has some sort of verdict on what's that's actual like content, it's him. But speaking of Back to the Future, right before we podcasted, I bought a documentary. Because, you know, it's like I said, Back to the Future year, like 35 anniversary. So I'm like all about it right now. It's called Out of Time. It's like an hour long documentary. not the best production value. It's kind of cheaply made, but it's pretty much just like cameras, you know, filming these guys that were serving as a restoration team to restore one of the DeLoreans from the movie. It's called the A car, which they use a lot. But this car has been through hell. It's been like on the, you know, it's been in the movie. It's been, you know, utilized for promos. It's been left outside at Universal Studios with the windows open when it was raining. So like they basically, you know, took the car. They, you know, found all the pieces and they tried to, you know, just bring it back to life. And it's a pretty cool documentary. It's short, so you don't have to, you know, it's like only an hour of your time. Mm-hmm. But it's cool to see like them like working so hard to restore this car and then bring it to Universal Studios. I believe this was around the same year as, you know, back to, you know, 2015. So, but it's just, it's sad how like such a beloved movie prop was treated like a piece of shit.
Yeah, that's like the shark from Jaws, right?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. But I mean, that's the thing. Like once it kind of gets ignored and not used again, like, you know, it's, and people, you know, and it was utilized at Universal Studios during its heyday, like when the ride was there. So like people were touching it, stealing parts from it, you know, because obviously if you're going to see it, you know, in the back lot there or whatever parked and there's a flux capacitor, you're going to try to fucking say like, hey, I have the actual physical flux capacitor for the movie.
Is that, and then probably you, try to say, is that how you got yours?
I don't have one.
Allegedly.
I don't have one at all. Diamond Select has done like movie props with like the DeLorean and the flux capacitor. I don't own any of those. So yeah, but it's a fun little documentary. And obviously for a fan like myself or any other Back to the Future fans, it's a fun little watch.
Nice. Sweet. That's dope.
But, yes. So, let's shift to gaming.
Yeah.
Real quick.
So I have finally made the jump after many years. I finally have a Switch.
Yay.
I think it's contractually, if you own a Switch, you actually have to go after you. Or Miyamoto shows up at your house and with a knife. But yeah, I picked up a Switch Lite because I don't need a dock. I don't need it on my TV because I only have two HDMI ports on my TV and that's hooked up to my computer and my Xbox. So, and my PlayStation, and I alternate. So, yeah, so I got mine in the reverse flash yellow, of course. And
as you should.
As I should. And I picked that up with Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3 because mm-hmm. it's a fucking exclusive and it's the only way to get that goddamn game.
Are you enjoying it?
Like, I'm really enjoying it so far. You should definitely pick it up as a Spider fan. Mm-hmm. There's like 40 characters you can unlock in games. So,
sorry, Warren. I'm not a big RPG guy.
Well, it's a beat 'em up. So
kind of, but not. I feel like it's like a mashing of the genres.
Did you play the first two?
I did not.
Oh man, these are the best games. So it's your classic kind of like old school kind of beat 'em up where you can alternate between like four characters on the fly. So a lot of it is kind of just creating like your team. So obviously you can be Venom, Miles Morales, Spider-Gwen, Peter, or you can have all the big Avengers like Tony Stark, Captain America, Thor, Wolverine, Luke Cage, like you name it, like they're in this game. They got some good DLC too with Punisher, Moon Knight, all those kind of guys. Season Pass is actually kind of fairly affordable. Like typical most Marvel games like this, like the past 5-10 years, the Thanos is the bad guy and you're trying to find the Infinity Gems.
Mm-hmm.
There's if you do have like a traditional Switch, you can do like same screen co-op too with up to four players. So that's pretty cool. But definitely highly recommend that game. I'm not very far into it, but I just love the game. The writing's really good. The gameplay feels really nice. And I'm really enjoying that. I've been downloading a lot of the free stuff, so I'm just glad I can finally play Warframe on the go. DC Universe Online is perfect for a console like this because it is kind of showing its age right now with modern games, but it just runs really good on the Switch, and especially as a handheld. And there's just so much content to play through that, and it's free. So
nice.
That's dope.
Good, good, good. Are you happy you made the purchase?
Yep. As I say, like, I now have true mastery over the Force. So with my PlayStation, my Xbox, and now the Switch, there is no light side or dark side. So.
Yeah. Are you planning on getting any more games? Anyone, like, ones you're really hoping to pick up soon?
I'll probably pick up Smash Brothers because it's, like, one of those things, like, if you own, like, a Nintendo product, you kind of have to have Smash Brothers.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll wait for, like, other stuff to go on sale. I already have, like, Breath of the Wild on my Wii U, which just collects dust, so that'd be the other
one. I would say, I mean, obviously, hopefully, maybe they'll drop to 20 because the Nintendo games are kind of like Disney movies. They don't really drop for like a long time.
Yeah.
I would recommend Odyssey. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
It's very immersive and like a lot of time consuming fetch quests.
Yes.
Luigi's Mansion's fun. Mario Kart you have on the Wii U, so you don't really need it on the Switch.
Right.
Hopefully they come out with an updated version or a newer version. Not a newer, but like a non port.
I will give Nintendo props because one of the biggest problems with the Wii U is there's no real games for that, where that does not seem to be the case for the Switch.
I feel like the Switch just like controls the gameplay mechanics are just better.
Yeah. I got a really dope handles and case for it. I got the Skull and Cope soft case with actual changeable grips to it. So it actually feels like a really nice, comfortable controller on it now.
Yeah. Look, I saw some pictures. It looked pretty cool. Comfy.
Oh yeah, yeah. I do not like the stupid little screen protector that I got for it. It took me forever to get it on there, and it looks like it's peeling up on the one side. So that was kind of frustrating. But so kind of the only knock I have on the console so far.
Mm.
But so I've been playing that. I just noticed on for PlayStation that our free game of the month is the HD version of Shadow of the Colossus, so that's worth downloading because that game is a classic. That's available now on PlayStation if you have PlayStation Plus, and Sonic Forces as well. I cannot remember what the game of the month is for Xbox, but if you got Game Pass, Kingdom Hearts 3 is now available on that. The Witcher is now available on that, and I think Yakuza 0 just got added. So for all the different game consoles, Game Pass is still kind of like the best value because it just keeps giving and giving and giving. And yes, they rotate games and you do eventually lose them for a while, but it's still like cheaper than like if you were renting them back in the day.
Yeah, I actually took the plunge with PlayStation Plus and I was like, you know what? It pays for itself.
It does, yeah.
As long as you have a solid internet connection.
Absolutely. So we'll have to like schedule like a small screen game night one of these nights.
Yeah, we can do that.
Yeah. Also, right now, I think until like the 3rd of March, so this may be over by the time the show posts, you can get the Division 2 for $4.
What is that, a racing game?
The Division's kind of like a shooter, military shooter kind of thing, but it's like in a post-apocalyptic kind of like United States. It's fun. It's a looter shooter, technically. I think that's the genre.
Looter shooter.
A looter shooter.
Gotcha.
Say that 5 times fast.
No thanks. I've been playing some stuff on my Switch as well.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks to advice from Mark Chevalier, he recommended to me. So I've been kind of going back to the old school gaming with my Nintendo 64.
Mm-hmm.
Hold on a second, I'm just getting an echo. I don't know if that's going to be any better.
It's not coming through on my end, so.
All right, so it sounds better on my end. Okay, I've been playing my N64 a little bit. I'm going back to old school stuff, so I've been playing like Banjo-Kazooie, and then recently I just actually repurchased. I owned it, and then I sold it for some money when things were tight, and now I own it again. I was playing some Conker's Bad Fur Day.
Yeah.
Graphics obviously have not been well with time, but the gameplay for both Banjo and Conker are still phenomenal.
Uh-huh.
But because I was playing Banjo, Mark Chevalier actually recommended a game to me called Ukulele, which is a GoFundMe or an Indiegogo game that has been, you know, you can download on all platforms.
Uh-huh.
So it's kind of like Banjo-Kazooie on steroids, because literally you go into a hub world and then you go into a main world or a level, and the level is like 10 times the size of like a level you would play in like Banjo-Kazooie, because like there's way more things to find, there's way more things to do. So I enjoy it from a gaming aspect, I enjoy it from a graphical aspect, but it is a little bit overwhelming because I'm like, holy shit, there's so much stuff to find and I'm literally on the first level.
Mm-hmm.
But I appreciate it because it's like, you know, the games that I used to play on the N64.
Yeah.
And then I actually downloaded the demo yesterday because I'm kind of in like a Mario, like old school gaming kind of mood. So I was like, I'm going to try this one out. And it was the Yoshi's Creative. What is this called? Hold on, let me look it up. It's like Yoshi, kind of like, do you remember Kirby's Epic Yarn?
Yeah.
So it's like that, but with Yoshi. So it's more like Kirby's Epic Yarn was like a 2D game. This is a 3D game. And Yoshi just kind of goes through the world. It's kind of got like a Mario style, like game mechanic to it. It's beautiful. It's colorful. It's kind of like Yoshi's story in the N64. It's called Yoshi's Crafted World. So I played the demo for it. I really did enjoy it. And it's cool because you go through the level first and then it's kind of like, there's an extra part of the level where it's like it's taken from the other camera perspective. So like if you're in front of a building in the first part of the level, in the second part of the level, you'll be like behind a building.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all like cardboard and like felt and stuff like that. So it's really creative. It's a fun little game. So I'll probably download the full version.
Yeah, I have to download that for Mrs. Batch because she likes those type of games.
Yeah.
Speaking of games and nostalgia, were you a Final Fantasy VII fan back in the day?
I'm gonna piss Warren off again, but I've never put hands on a Final Fantasy game in my life.
Oh, because that's dropped. I guess that's all everyone's talking about. The reboot, the long, long talked about reboot of Final Fantasy VII demo has dropped on the PlayStation. And I honestly could give two fucks about this game. Like, I'm in my 40s, so I lived through the Final Fantasy launch. I owned it. I played through it. I died a million times versus Ruby and Emerald Weapon. I did all the Chocobo races. I played the multiple discs. So I've gone back to it, and it hasn't aged well. So I downloaded the demo because everyone's talking about it. It says it's the best thing since sliced bread. Within 30 seconds of it starting up, I'm like, you sons of fucking bitches. God damn it. You make me want this goddamn game. The second that the score starts up and you see Aerith, I'm like, fuck, you got me. And then once it actually starts up and then the gameplay is based off the most recent Final Fantasy game. So it's all like, it's not like turn-based anymore. It's your immersive, full voice cast acting. I would recommend download it for your PlayStation, Logan. Try it out. Because Agan,
do I need to know anything going in?
No, because it's literally the exact same game, but HD and completely redone from the ground up with modern game sensibilities. So it's really fucking good. It's really goddamn good, and I'm gonna have to fucking pick that game up. It's one of those things that very rarely does hype it, something live up to all the hype of like when everyone starts talking about it. This kind of does. It's really good. If you haven't played it before, I don't know if you'll get the member berries, but all of us that love that original game, we're all stuck deep in the member berries right now.
Nice.
And it's worth playing. I say download the demo, see what you think.
Okay.
Can't go wrong.
I just don't trust a series that it says Final Fantasy, but it's never final.
Well, that's the thing too.
I'm just joking.
Yeah, that's been the research.
That's like the wise Velociraptor meme. Like, how can it be a Final Fantasy if it's never truly final?
Oh, it's like fucking Kingdom Hearts. I tried to play like Kingdom Hearts 3 because, as I said, like that dropped on the Xbox now, and I played the first two, but 3 is so far up its own ass with lore and continuity, and nothing makes fucking sense. Like, the first 30 minutes, what the fuck is going on? Like, I just wanted to see fucking Disney characters and Final Fantasy characters.
Yeah, that's kind of where I was when I played the first one, because I was like, oh, I feel like I would like this game, because even though it's an RPG, like, it's got familiar characters, but I'm just like, I don't really...
Yeah, but, so. Yeah. So my recommendations this week, try the Final Fantasy character and Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3 for your Switch, because you will like that.
Nice. But I got a movie review.
Okay.
And then I think we'll get out of here.
Yep.
So growing up, I was a bigger Nintendo fan than anything else. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of, you know, been the way it has been since I was a kid. You know, I love the Mario games, I love the Zelda games, I love the, you know, those. Yeah, I'm not a big like Metroid or Star Fox person, but like I've dabbled. But there was always the competing company of Sega and their mascot, Sonic the Hedgehog. Mm-hmm. Now, I've played the Sonic the Hedgehog games. I've played a wide variety of them. I don't think I've ever actually beaten one, because I feel like I just get to a point where I become frustrated or that gets too hard, and that's life in general.
Yeah.
You just don't want to do it. But I do definitely dabble in them, and I don't, you know the whole like background and story or whatever. But my friend was like, hey, do you want to go see Sonic the Hedgehog? I can get tickets on the cheap. And I said, you know what? Like, why the hell not? Like, you know, it's a video game movie. It's a very popular character. It looks kind of like it could be fine and fun. So I went. And I sat in the dining theater and I had nachos and a beer. And it was a very okay movie.
I'm surprised how well it did at the box office, to be honest.
Yeah, I think what it is, it's because like it was so soon after like January's Dump Month and people were just clamoring for something enjoyable. And the movie is enjoyable. Like if you just kind of turn your brain off and it just be like, well, this is a movie cliche after movie cliche after movie cliche. But it's the strongest parts of this movie, honestly, is Ben Schwartz as Sonic and Jim Carrey as Dr. Robotnik, because as everybody has said through the reviews on the internet or through here, he is literally channeling like Ace Ventura, Dumb and Dumber, Jim Carrey. And to see that version of Jim Carrey that we haven't seen in so long is actually very, very awesome.
Nice.
For a character that's supposed to go super fast all the time, Sonic doesn't go super fast all the time. So I feel like I, as a adult, if you want to call me that, was kind of bored at points because I'm like, you need to go faster. That's what she said. And, you know, but a lot of the movie, he's like sitting in a car. He's just chit-chatting. Maybe he talks very fast and he does fast things. But like the bigger like action sequences are left like they're kind of unbalanced. And there's one like big one at the end. But most of the time when he's going faster, he's actually moving in slow-mo. So like there's a whole like ripoff of Quicksilver from X-Men scene, which is actually kind of cool. But
kinda,
most of the time
they kind of had to do that.
Yeah. And it's cool because he does like all this fun stuff in like a bar and whatever. And he slows down and like he trips people up and, you know, and that's fun. But no, I mean, for what it is, I mean, and I feel like people are like, oh, is this the best video game movie ever made? Absolutely not. But as far as like video games movies are concerned, it's definitely towards the like the top of the pile. I would probably give it like a 6.
Cool.
Out of 10. There's also an explanation of the origin of his rings, which again, I didn't know that I needed. I think Matt Gaudreau said the same thing, but it's there. The rings are not treated like they are in the games, which is interesting. But yeah, it was fine.
So 6 Sonic rings out of 10.
6 Sonic rings out of 10. 6 weird Olive Garden product placement things out of 10.
Yeah, that's one thing I keep hearing about is like the weird product placement. Olive
Garden placements.
But
so
cool. Well, I guess on that note, we will wrap up this show. Thanks for listening. As always, we really appreciate the downloads. So until next time, I am Batch.
I'm Logan.
And read a goddamn book.
You've been listening to the Binge Media Podcast Network at BingeMedia.net. Support the show by donating on Patreon at Patreon.com/BingeMedia. Subscribe to us on iTunes. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Buy some merch at BingeMedia.net/shop. Subscribe to our newsletter at BingeMedia.net/newsletter. And don't forget,
I didn't stop giving handjobs because I was good at it. I stopped giving handjobs because I was the best at it.